We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, learning Masech Tekinim. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Yudches, teaches us Kinim u'pischei nida hein hein gufei halachas. And the Rashbats, in his Sefer Magen Avos, explains that Kinim is a Masech inside the Kachim, a Masech with three Prokim that has no Gemara, not Bavli, nor Yerushalmi. And it speaks about, as we're going to learn, the Kabbanah Sa'if. You could bring an Oyla Sa'if, you sometimes have to bring a Chata Sa'if. And it refers to a pair. The word Kinim comes from the Pasuk that we're all familiar with in the Torah. Ki kari kan sipor lefanecha. And the reason this very general word "can" is used is because, as we learn in our Masechta, there are two types of birds that may be used when you need to bring a bird as a carbon. Either tyrim, doves, or b'nei yoina, are pigeons. And we also speak in our Masechta about a can where the birds are not identified which one is which. And that's how all sorts of issues come up. And that's where you come to the word can. I saw from Rabbi Eliezer Guttmacher, who wrote in the Sefer Kan Mufereshes, written by his son, that by learning Masech Tekinim, it's a protection from any tzaris, from any problems that could happen to a person. And he gives three reasons. One reason is because the Torah, when it speaks about a karbonus, so by oilas behemah, the Torah says ishereich nechoyach. By oilas ha'oif, the Torah says ishereich nechoyach. And the Torah by Karban Mincha teaches us ishereich nechoyach. And the Gemara, based on this, teaches us Echra Marba Vechra Mamid. It makes the difference if you bring a larger carbon or a small carbon. So he goes on to say that since we're learning there are three types of kabbonis, the largest is the animals, the smallest is the mincha, and the middle one is the birds. So that's what people usually are. They're usually in the middle, they're usually average. So makes sense that that's the carbon that is most referred to. He also says another reason why kabbonis out of birds are so important. Because bird carbons are kabbonis that is highly unlikely that a Jew should go through his life without having to bring bird carbon. Zov and Zova are quite much part, particularly by a woman's life. And the oldest, we all, Baruch Hashem, have and should have children, and therefore we have to bring bird carbons. And then he gives a third reason. He says, the Medrash and Shira Shirim says, Hinach yofach re'osay, hinach yofach einayich yoinim. And the Medrash mentions all the different ways that Klal Yisrael are compared to the Yoina. And one of them is that the Yoina, as we learn in our Masechta, is prepared to give up its life for Shechita as a carbon. So to Klal Yisrael, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ke'alecha haragnu kol hayoyim. So therefore, mentioning that is a tremendous chus, which we so many times will do in this Masechta, is so important, and it should be therefore mentioned in the Masechta. The Ramban says, the Pasuk says in Parshas VeYikra, Ve'im an oif oila kabbana l'Hashem, if a person brings a oif as a carbon oila, Ve'ikra min ha'tayrim ab'na yoyin as kabbana. The Torah tells us that, as we just learned, the two types of birds that can be used are either Tayrim or B'nai Yoina. And the question asked the Ramban, why did the Torah specify these two birds? Certainly, there are many other kosher birds. So he says, regarding the Torah is a bird, unlike other animals or birds, that sticks to one mate. And that represents how Klal Yisrael, how we always stick to Hashem. And that's represented, he says, as we're going to learn, Tyrim, doves, could only be brought when they're more mature. Yainim, pigeons, don't have that characteristic that they always stick to one mate. But it does have a tremendous characteristic that it protects its babies. So we can't choose a large yaina because it's not faithful. But when it's young, so there's no issue of faithfulness, but we do learn from it that it has this tremendous quality of caring for its children, and therefore that's the carbon that should be brought on the Mizbeach when we speak about birds. The Medrash Shmuel and the Iyun Yaakov both explain what is so special about Masechet Kinim, because they're certainly not very relevant la'aloch l'maisa. Certainly b'zman hazeh, they're not relevant because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, what is the likelihood of the various scenarios that we're going to discuss in our Masechta of ever happening? So somebody who's learning this Masechta is learning it purely l'shem shemayim. And therefore, somebody who shows that he's learning a Masechta purely l'shem shemayim, such an individual is worthy of tremendous schar, which is represented in our Masechta. I saw a very interesting story regarding the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, as we know, when he was younger, would travel from city to city to sell his Sfarim. He certainly wasn't very famous at that time. And he once came to a city. The city's name was Radom. And the person that's writing this is a person whose name was Ramosha Baum Zitzal, who was a son-in-law of a very wealthy person in that town. And he says he comes home from shul, and he comes to shul, and he sees this man in the shul dressed very, very simply. As we know, the Chafetz Chaim always dressed extremely simply, and he's in shul, and he's selling his Sfarim. But he right away recognized that this is not a simple Jew. He got permission from his father-in-law to invite him to stay in their home. He said he invited him to the home, and he asked him, is there anything we could do for you? So he said that I need a place to keep my Sfarim, which of course he allowed. Then they offered him to eat. So he said that he refused to eat. The only thing he said he eats is simple bread and black coffee. And like that, he remained in this person's house. Now Shabbos was approaching. And Shabbos, very much in line with what we're discussing here, if you need to eat something. So he said, I need to check who is the shaychet in this town. And he checked who is the shaychet in the town. And he was satisfied that he was a reliable shaykhet, and he said, okay, I'll eat in your home. Then, he says, it was a different world than the world we lived in now. There were no lights in the house on Shabbos, and when the candles went out, there was no more light in the room. So he said he heard the Chavetz Chaim walking around in his room all night, Friday night, and he put his ear to the door to hear what was the Chavetz Chaim saying. So he said that he heard the Chavetz Chaim was saying Masechta Kinim, the Masechta that we're about to learn. He was saying Masechta Kinim Baal Peh with all the Mefarshim. And he says, ultimately, he discovered who this great person was, that this was the great Chavetz Chaim. And we see that what did the Chavetz Chaim do when he had no Sfarim available? He learned Masechta Kinim. So we certainly should try to emulate the ways of the Chavetz Chaim and as well learn Masechta Kinim and try to know it well.